and I don't know why my brain will just get into this total tailspin of crash diving into the ground when it comes to this, just because you're a little bit busy.
Because our brains do that. Mm. Our brains totally do that to us. When something is wrong, your brain wants to prove that you're right.
Yeah. I don't know when we're going to have sex again. Ever.
If I even mention it, she's going to slap me.
She loves me, but she doesn't love me.
So sad.
No. Well, I'm Bruce.
And I'm Laura Lee.
And this is Rewrite Your Marriage Podcast. We're talking about the impact that our stories have on our lives.
Yeah. So tell us a story.
Tell a story. Like, okay. Back when we were living in Tennessee, this was, our college years. We were in our mid-20s, mid to late 20s. Tennessee was alive and well. It was green and full of many living things.
Yes, like bugs, which I hate.
The water bug.
Okay, the water bug. And you give it this cute little name. They're water bugs. They're like cockroaches. They're like 3 or 4 inches long.
They're huge.
And they always got into our house when you were at work or at school.
Right. Now, unfortunately, we weren't infested with thousands. It was just every now and then we would get one in our house.
We'd get one in our house.
And they were really big. They were creepy and impossible to kill. I mean, they were just gigantic.
Yeah. Okay. One night, Bruce had just gotten home from work. I had just gotten out of the shower and I was just laying around on our bed. So we had like an ensuite bath. And there's like this little open breezeway window kind of thing above the door between the bathroom and the bedroom. So I'm laying on the bed, door's opposite me, Bruce and I are talking, and I see this water bug standing up there in the little breezeway space. It's a huge thing. And I'm telling you, this thing was moving its head back and forth, and it was checking me out.
You were laying on the bed naked from your bath that you just had.
Yes, I certainly was. And I thought, that bug is going to fly down from there and it's going to land smack in the middle of my back. And so I'm just watching this water bug.
You even said that out loud, huh? No, it's not.
He's like, they don't fly.
I didn't think they did. They were so big.
And sure enough, it launched itself and it was aiming right for me.
For And so midair, I see it's coming right at Laura Lee. I think you screamed.
I'm sure I did.
And I was just right in position. I swiped with my arm to be able to reach it and get it. And I smacked it like it was hitting a baseball with a baseball bat.
Yes,
he did.
And
it flew across the room, not under its own power.
No, it smacked it and it smacked into the wall.
Smacked into the wall.
Disappeared into a pile of junk.
I don't know where it went. I probably didn't die.
Maybe it didn't, because I never did find it later.
Yeah.
Anyway, he saved me. Bruce saved me from the water bug.
Just doing my duty, ma'am.
Yes. I appreciate that. So this is a funny story, and we remember this every now and then. But you could put a different spin on it. I could say, you know, I did not want to go to Tennessee. I could say, if we weren't in this horrible place, this would have never happened, right?
That's true.
But it was just a funny story.
When we were in Tennessee, we were often not super happy. It was stressful.
Yeah.
We worried about money. We worried about me getting through school. We went from 2 little kids to 4 little
to
kids.
4 little kids.
While we were in Tennessee. We were away from all family support.
Mm-hmm.
We did have friends.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a good ward.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like we were totally alone, but we had this overarching feeling of get us out of here. I'm back home.
Yes, we did.
And water bugs were a part of the impetus.
Yes, they were. Anyway, what we wanted to really talk about is the way we look at our stories and the way we look at things that happen in our life. We change our stories from the past to suit the way we feel right now.
Right.
And so if something bad is happening, if I am upset about something, let's say I go to bed at night and the dishes haven't been done and I'm a cook. We are all cooks in our house, except for Bruce. He cooks a mean grilled cheese.
I do. My chocolate chip cookies are pretty good as well.
They're pretty good too. making dinner is quite a production in our kitchen. Mm-hmm. And you can tell by the time the meal is over, with eight of us still in the house and all the pots and pans and the measuring things, it's a pretty big mess.
True.
Sometimes my kids will just clean the kitchen. And if we ask them, they will usually come up and take care of it. And sometimes they finish it and do a beautiful job and they've wiped down the counters and the stove and everything else. And other times they do the bare minimum, like they load the dishwasher. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to say I go to bed at night and I see that the kitchen is a mess. I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to do that in the morning. And then I get up in the morning and sure enough, it's all still there and it's going to cut into the plans I have for that day. And I start loading the dishwasher and it's first thing in the morning, like, I'm tired and I don't want to do this. And why didn't anybody do it last night? And they never help clean up. And it doesn't matter how many times I say I need help in the house, they're just not going to do it. And my brain starts going around and looking into the past for all the times that they didn't help out. They didn't clean the house. They didn't pick up the kitchen. They didn't put away their clothes, you know. I'm searching back to like when they were, you know, between 5 and 10 and I'd hand them their folded laundry and they'd take it clear in their bedroom and put it on the floor in front of the dresser. Or I had even seen them put folded laundry in the dirty hamper. And so my brain is doing this. It's just reaching and reaching and reaching and looking for all these bad things to prove how bad my kids are because I'm upset right now that they didn't do the dishes.
And it doesn't matter logically that that was 20 years ago. It doesn't matter.
No.
You even forget all of the stories you would tell about the times they did help. You walk in the kitchen and it was magically all cleaned up because someone cleaned it up. And you know what? You don't do your kids' laundry now and haven't for a while. So we could name a whole bunch of stories that would show that they're responsible adults, that they take care of things, they're good cooks, they'll clean things up. And we can drag up all sorts of stories that show the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
What's the truth then? Are they responsible adults or not?
A little of both. Like everybody, I guess.
That's right.
So let's pull this closer to home. How does this play out when you're married with your husband or your wife?
All right. Let's say I'm like really feeling like, oh, I would really, really like to have sex with Laurelie. I don't know, how long has it been? And I know, I always know exactly how long it's
been.
He
does. He knows exactly how long.
And sometimes it's been like a week. And for us, that's like, oh, agony. And depending on how things are going, I mean, sometimes, Laurelie, you are cranky. You're storming around the house. Mm-hmm. Think something isn't right and you're angry or upset about a thing.
Or sometimes I'm just really, really busy.
And busy is bad enough. You're very determined and focused, and it's really hard to distract you away. And I will go up to you and hint, like, and you're like, yeah, yeah. Silly boy.
Silly Bruce.
And I'm like, no, I was serious. I don't know if I say to you anything about that. I just want to have fun with you.
Uh-huh.
And I like you.
Yeah.
And then at this point, my brain is triggered. They'll think, well, you know, it's been a while, and I can quickly come up with a whole list of times when Laurelie was putting me off or just straight up says no, and there's really no reason for it because I was helpful and I cleaned the house like I'm supposed to. You read all the professional advice, and it says make sure that she's comfortable and you tell her that you love her and you show and demonstrate that you love her and don't leave all the burdens of the house on her shoulders. You bring her flowers and you tell her how pretty she is. You just got to do all the things. And I do all those things. I tell you I love you multiple times a day.
Yeah.
In many ways.
I'm like, look, I took out the trash.
I know, I did too. Took out the trash. And yet you would still reject me or still wasn't enough to talk you into it. Or you would still have like, fine, whatever, sex.
Wow. I'm really mean.
And that's not what I want. I want to feel loved when we make love.
I know. Me too. So basically, your brain is saying, because we haven't had sex for a little while, a week or 3 weeks or whatever the length of time is, your brain starts going, look at all these other times that she told me no. Look at how mean she is to me. Look at how Laurelie never has sex with me.
I would even think of how, I don't know what's wrong. you know, she used to be really into me at the beginning of our relationship. And I'm like, well, maybe she doesn't like sex like I do. And I've tried to learn all these important bedroom techniques, you know. And she gets mad at me when I get books from the library that teaches me how to be a better lover. I'm like, why would that make her angry? Oh, she doesn't like sex. That's why right. She gets angry when I bring home a book from the library. And this is stuff from the full 30 plus years of our relationship.
Yeah.
Not just like last week or or this past year even. And I don't know why my brain will just get into this total tailspin of crash diving into the ground when it comes to this, just because you're a little bit busy.
Because our brains do that. Mm. Our brains totally do that to us. When something is wrong, your brain wants to prove that you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. That is terrible. That's awful. And look at all these examples that show why you are correct.
And I project into the future, too.
Yeah.
I won't be going, well, I don't know when we're going to have sex again. Ever.
If I even mention it, she's going to slap me.
It doesn't matter because she doesn't like it. So
she doesn't like me.
And she doesn't even like me. I mean, you know, she loves me, but she doesn't love me. You
know? So sad.
No. Poor Bruce.
No. But our brains totally do this to us. I've noticed that if something really upsetting happens, then my brain really just goes for it. So, well, you know, we've talked about this for a couple weeks now, but when my mom died and everything was just so difficult for me, it was really, really easy for my mind to go, Bruce doesn't love me. He doesn't care what's going on. My kids don't love me. They all hate me. I hate them back. Look at all these bad things they've done. They don't help me in the house and they're not helping me now. And what about this other time? And what about the time when our car was impounded? And what about the time when the water got shut off? And what about this? And what about that? And my brain is just going to all these things that happened so long ago. And then I'm standing there right in my messy kitchen, which is what triggered all this, and going, and they're never going to help me. They never have and they never will.
Yeah.
And man, that's awful. You can really talk yourself into believing that your husband and your family are terrible, terrible people. And we don't want to do that.
Right.
Okay. So when you get into this big tailspin, really the best thing would be if you can pull yourself out and say, wait, stop. Actually, my family loves me. Actually, Laura Lee does like sex. Actually, Bruce does help out in the house. But sometimes that's really, really hard to do. So you might need to have a good friend that you can talk to. I've found that when I do reach out to a friend, even if they're only commiserating with me and saying, yeah, I have that too. I get that. I understand that. It just will calm me down enough that I can finally go, well, you know, Bruce is a good guy and he takes out the trash. And sometimes he does the dishes and he'll do the dishes with me. And he always wipes down the table, which I don't like to do because, you know, who wants to do that?
I don't mind.
And Bruce can say, actually, we've had some pretty good sex and recently too.
That's true. And it's not hard for me to think of example times when you initiated sex, when you had a grand time with me, even after I initiated sex. I'm not going to tell you deep details here on our podcast, but I can think of times both recent and over the long term where we had fine old time. I mean, I remember you picking me up from the airport wearing like a body stocking and leather skirt. And I'm like, whoa, who is this? And that was pretty darn fun.
I did wait in the car dressed like that, just so you know.
Did not go inside. Anyway, it was fun.
Okay. Another thing you can do is take preventative measures ahead of time. Because when you're in that spiral down, you know, flushing yourself down the toilet of how mean everybody is.
Yeah.
It is hard to swim against stream, right? We recommend that you get a notebook and write down 5 good things about your spouse every day.
Right.
It could be something they did that day. It could be something they did 30 years ago. There were times when I was already upset and I was trying to do this. And the best I could come up with is, Bruce is good looking. You know, that's not a bad thing. It's a positive thing still. Or a story that happened in your past that was fun. Like the time you went to the airport in a mini skirt. That would be his story, not mine. Although that was fun for me too. So as you're building up this store, this notebook of great things about your husband or your wife, when you're starting to spiral down, you've had this recently in your mind.
Right. So do you go back and read this to remind yourself she's a wonderful person. She loves me. Or am I simply just building up like little mental muscles of noticing how wonderful my spouse is?
Both. Why not?
Okay, cool.
So think about your stories. What are you telling yourself? What are you believing?
Right.
It's okay if things are hard sometimes and you feel bad sometimes. But it's really not okay to just swim in that bad, 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 bad. It makes your husband upset or your wife. It makes your family upset. It doesn't make you happy and it doesn't fix things.
It's literally mindset, which is what you choose to focus on.
Yeah.
Are you going to believe stories that your spouse is awful that you tell yourself, or are you going to believe stories that you tell yourself
they're great,
that your spouse is the best person you've ever met in your whole life? Go back and retell stories to yourself and to your spouse. Do you remember the time we went to the park and we went on that hike, or we went on that fun date, or we built a pillow fort in the living room, or whatever it is that you went and did, or went and spent the evening under the stars in the backyard on a on a sleeping bag.
Yeah.
I'm worried about whether the kids were going to come out.
So think about your stories. Think about how you're telling yourself your stories. Think about the stories you're telling about your spouse. Think about the stories you tell each other.
Right.
Make them good.
Well, I'm having a good story with you.
Yes, we are. It's a good story.
I love you, Laura Lee.
I love you. If you like our podcast, you'll love our Rewrite Your Marriage course. We teach couples how to have better marriages in 12 sessions and live discussions with Bruce and me.
We talk about friendship and dating, mm-hmm. expectations, conflict, sexuality, and so much more. And we use the best ideas from therapists and research.
And 30 plus years of personal experience.
And we throw in a scripture or two. Mm-hmm. Sign up for the course at rewriteyourmarriage.com.
Now is the best time to stop, click the subscribe button, look over the show notes, and click the link to rewriteyourmarriage.com.
We're so grateful for you. Thank you for listening to us.
Yeah, thanks.
I love you, Laura Lee.
Love you too.